Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to the NXT 2.0 review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanflot and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT 2.0. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT 2.0, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by the Dudleys to discuss NXT 2.0 and the reintroduction, Michael Sidgwick, of literally everyone on the NXT roster, I think.
This show, in the most succinct way I can put it, is a objectively terrible, subjectively brilliant experience. My goodness. I know I'm falling in love with this show, right? I think I love this show, ironically, as much as I love AEW Dynamite earnestly. Head over heels for this stupid bollocks. The process behind it fascinates and delights me to no end. And it's so completely boom, 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 bada bing, bada boom, 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 that it's impossible to get bored by at the same time. That'll probably change. But for now, my God, it's a honeymoon.
And it's getting edgier. Let's not forget the big news this week. It's going to be getting more effing and jeffing around and stuff.
Well, there's effing and jeffing. There's talk of eating puss. There's like...
I forgot about that on this week's show,
They're eating pussy. They're dropping F-bombs. Like, they are making Mandy Rose look like a Kevin Dunn broad.
And we haven't even got to the safe space yet. But Hanflot, what did you think of this week's show?
Yeah, totally agree. Joyously stupid. Honestly, joyously stupid. So stupid that it brought me joy. This program, from a booking point of view, as a wrestling show, has got hideous Fawn and Reynolds. Like, it is absolutely doomed. But it's a blast. It is so much fun. Looking forward to reviewing it. An enjoyable watch. It never stops, and that's often to its detriment. But who cares? Who gives a rat's ass?
Yeah, we were talking about this in the office earlier, just about how it's obviously massively different to the previous incarnation of NXT. But it feels like when I think back to like 3 weeks ago, I see it in like black and white. It was so drab and like, yes, there was the occasional good match, but like you would always say, Sid, it was like 3 3/4, like a match that I'm never going to go back and watch, a match I'm barely going to remember the next week. At least with this, it's just, you know, just short, sharp shocks of colour and squashes and characters. I'm loving it.
It's great. It is absolutely great. It's everything I wanted it to be when I saw that logo. I wanted this thing because, again, we're not being cruel. There was no chance of it ever being good. I wanted it, therefore, to be as bad as it could possibly get. I wanted to watch this show descend into the parody I knew it would when Vince and Bruce and Johnny and Kev were on the button, done. And
get the fuck off the switch, John.
And the Switch, sorry, I said the button. I meant the Switch. Take your finger off the Switch.
Such a kiss ass when it Triple H. Kevin Dunn, roll of footage. And it was like, guys, mark it out again. His name mentioned a piece of good bucky toothpaste.
But it is, like, in theory, potentially doing good things in terms of, like, he's putting green talent in there where with some experienced heads and giving them in-ring time. But it's only, like, 2 minutes ago, basically.
Well, no, beneath the tropes and the bollocks and the hilarity, there are some, in contrary to what Hamflet has just said, good for him, Meryl. I won't repeat the take again, even though it's a great one, that Tommaso Ciampa did a miracle job of carrying Cross, and that's why he's been positioned to bleed in, prick the finger of Bronson Breakker. But, you know, I'll just get into it, man.
Let's get into it. Let's start at the beginning of the show, because the new NXT champ, Tommaso Ciampa, came out to walk into the ring filled with lots of new talent, and that was just a dip in the ocean of what we were going to get on this week's show. You got Bron Breakker there. You got the brilliant Odyssey Jones, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, Brooke Jensen, Josh Briggs. They're all in there. Ciampa cuts this promo about how long it's been, 908 days until he since he last held the NXT Championship, which, of course, he never actually lost. He's very happy. He has a little chat with Goldie and says, I missed you too. He calls himself Mr. NXT. He says, you can put a new coat of paint on here. Well, what matters most is the passion. He says, NXT is the A show. And then he leads the crowd in a chant. We are NXT. But the more things change here in NXT, the more they stay the same. Woo-woo, it's time for a promo train, everybody. In comes Cameron Grimes, baby, to the moon. He's very excited. He says that championship is just the fuel he needs to take him to the moon. Joe Gacy, more on him later on. He goes to interrupt him, but then L.A. Knight interrupts. I think he calls everyone incels and says everyone in the ring is a heap of hot garbage, basically. He said he should be the one getting the you deserve it chance. But before he can continue, Odyssey Jones cuts him off and quite rightly points out he lost twice last week. Then another interruption, Pete Dunne and Rich Bloody Holland come out to confront just everyone. And Dunne says I look around at these bunch of guys are all too scared to throw the first punch. And Ciampa does exactly that. He chins him. Big old brawl kicks off. And it ends up with Dunne and Holland, Ciampa and Bron Breakker in the ring. And eventually Ciampa and Breakker clear them out of the ring to set up the main event of the evening, Michael Sidgwick.
What's going to be the main event?
1 second there, caller. I haven't got my soundboard on today because we're doing this through Zoom. In theory, it would have been a Toxic Attraction promo.
Phenomenal. Here's what I loved about this rubbish, right? It's two kinds of absolutely awful. You get a 8 minute or like 5 minute Tommaso Ciampa promo in which he effectively says, it's still good.
It's still good.
It's still the same for like 5 minutes.
The pig's gone through the paint factory. It's still good. It'll be fine.
So he says it's still good for 5 minutes, at which point, and NXT did flirt with this pretty much all the time in its old golden era. But it's just great that it happened specifically here on this show, because it's still good. It's still good. Now here's a promo train. It's just some guys in the ring stood there to remind you that there are new guys on the show. It's such an odd, dissonant bit of blocking here. They're only there because you're thick in the eyes of the new production team. It's fantastic stuff. One of them's a tag team, I think.
Yes, they are. Yeah. They made friends after that bar fight. We'll get to that in a sec.
And not only was it great on that basis, the sheer bathos of the scene. The bathos was absolutely immaculate. But not only that, right, but this is marketed as NXT 2.0. It's 2.0, nucleus. It's not boring anymore, guys. It's not boring anymore. No more midgets, to use their exact wording, not mine. I'm not problematic 76-year-old guy. And then, so when you've tried so hard, you've used so many colors to just bash you over the head with the messaging, it's new, it's 2.0, it's not 1.0, it's not drab, it's colourful, it's new, it's new, guys, they're all big. Remember last week? Well, we're here again. So why would you have Ciampa, this old guy with a Home Alone beard, talking for 5 minutes about still the same thing it used to be. But what is it? Nobody knows.
Who are those people? I don't know. laughed out loud watching the guys. Because we know enough now, we've seen enough network documentaries with the cameras backstage or wrestlers speaking to Steve Austin or whoever, that we know how a lot of this works. And you know what's happened is they're like, you know, it would normally be Triple H with his tongue in his teeth, his number, big knife for you tonight. But it's whoever it is at the moment, Shawn Michaels, Bruce Prichard, somebody, saying like, you got a huge opportunity, kid. Go out there and maximize your minutes. Make this your moment. And they're like, oh, wow, what's the opportunity? You're going to stand there as moving scenery while Tommaso Ciampa talks for 8 minutes and makes no sense. Cool, I'm going to make this work, boss. Like, they're going to run through walls. But they can't do anything while they stand in the ring. So they have to move their left foot a little bit. And one complete loser, who I can't remember the name of, said to another complete loser, he stuck his arm out to like his mate, who looked a bit like 2016 Dean Ambrose, and was like, hey, let the man talk about Tommaso Ciampa here. Let's see what he's got to say. just ridiculous. Dissonance, again, would be the word. I want to give Tommaso Ciampa a bit of credit here. Rare do I make this comparison, unless I feel it is worthy, but I want to compare Tommaso Ciampa to Bret the Hitman Hart in this promo. Because he too misused the, when he said NXT is the A show. He put that word in by mistake. it was a complete mess that served to obviously fail to put over these new, like, great as well. Like, all these new young guys, they're hungry. They want competition. What's the match that comes from all this bollocks? The one guy that got over last week and the three people that we've been watching for the last 2 years. These guys are jumping at the bit, and tonight they've taken their opportunity. Like, great. Terrible. Just terrible. Really ineffective. Really funny. Really great.
I also realised that fact that this segment actually hadn't actually ended. It was all so all over the place. I thought it was ended, and it hadn't. They cut backstage with, like, Kaylee Ray, Electra Lopez, B-Fab. They're all brawling backstage. Break them up. And then they cut back to the ring where there's still stuff going on. And eventually, Bron Breakker, who gets a mic, and shouts at Dunn and Holland, how about you two little bitches grow a set of balls and face me and Ciampa in a tag team match tonight? That's out the main event. Apologies.
To be a woman watching this, like, seriously though, like, on a fundamental business demographic chasing level, if we can for once, and I don't want to do this throughout the duration of the pod, but for once, let's analyze this as a strategic bid to gain viewership. They have, in the same show, removed about 30% of Mandy Rose's clothing, mm-hmm, and told men on the show to be less like bitches. Why don't you stitch up that badge and get a cock? That's essentially what Bron Breakker said.
Well, you say that, but they balanced it out because that bloke talked about male privilege later on. So, you know,
he was definitely a
50-50 booking of male privilege, I think you'll find.
I'm pretty sure it's 100.
Anyway, then we got the NXT Cruiserweight Championship match, Kushida defending against Roderick Strong with Diamond Mind at ringside. And you can probably see where it was going after that. Look, it was good graps. What do you think of the fundamentals of this match?
I mean, the thing about this is that it went very short. It was a total obligatory pretext to doing the switch that we all anticipated, given what kind of professional wrestler Kushida is. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like this really urgent, high-quality sprint, was it?
Mm-hmm. But the fundamentals?
Great fun, man.
Okay.
Expect nothing less.
So Kushida gets the best of the grappling early on. He's going for Roderick Strong's arm. He's weakening it for a submission, of course. Eventually, it looks like Strong's taking control, but Kushida blocks a superplex and comes off the top with the avalanche shoulder breaker, again targeting Roderick Strong's arm. Strong, though, hits him with some backbreakers, and Kushida counters, gets him in the hoverboard lock. It looks like he's going to get the submission victory when Malcolm Bivens, not in the eyesight of the referee, grabs Roderick Strong's foot, puts it on the ropes and points it out to the referee, so he has to break the hold. The ref is then further sort of taken out of the action by Malcolm Bivens, which allows the Creed brothers to drag Kushida out, and Ivy Nile just twats him, throws him back in there, and Roderick Strong hits him with a backbreaker. 1, 2, 3. Roderick Strong is your new Cruiserweight champion. Bailey has time to celebrate when Grayson Waller shows up. who was, oh God, who was he friends with last week? He was Drake Maverick's best mate last week. Yeah. And he comes out and challenges Roderick Strong to a match next week. And Bivins confides in Roderick Strong, and they decide they will accept for next Tuesday. Oh, what do you think of all this, Hamlet?
Well, I mean, the end stuff was funny, as every introduction of every wrestler on this show is funny. I can't remember if I've already made this joke, but this isn't 2.0, it's 2.0 Oprah. Because you get a wrestler, you get a wrestler, you get a... There's in hundreds of them, man. I love it. I want this every week. I don't want, like, yesterday I joked on the podcast, like, well, what they could do every week is just reintroduce the guys that they introduced last week in new gimmicks. Was there any reference that Grayson Waller had hung out with Drake Maverick? Or is he on a cruise with me? They have actually done that. It was like, that thing last week, don't care about it. Like, I don't think he's going to challenge. I think he's going to challenge Ciampa next week. Like, they'll just start again. I've been around here for 3 weeks now. I've said my piece. Like, it's total nonsense. The thing is, though, this match, more than anything else, not to put us over, as we always do, join us here in the sweet spot of how to enjoy NXT 2.0. Because this match was evidence of how you might be doing it wrong. If you are watching this show despairing at it no longer being the old NXT, because you love those initials, stop that, because it is gone and you have to move past it. So enjoy this for what it is, like this neon nonsense. Just enjoy it for what it is. If you are raging that you're not getting the quality matches that you once got, watch this and realize, ironically, is the best way to enjoy it, because this match wasn't even that great. You know, like, it was one thing that it had a finish with loads of cheating and the Diamond Mine using their numbers advantage. You know, it wasn't a clean finish, but it was a finish. But the match was bang average too. Do not go into this show with expectations of the matches being awesome, because they're just not going to be anymore. And worse still, don't get on the still cobweb covered WWE NXT hashtag and say earnestly, great fun and Reynolds, and talk about these solid matches, because most of them are too bland to be entertaining. On it, like, we are in the exact right headspace to enjoy this show, and I urge everybody else to get in that too, because you're not going to get great stuff, and you'll only be mourning if you, like, you'll only keep mourning if you want anything resembling the old NXT. Like, and this match brought that into sharp focus for me.
There was no spark, piss, vinegar, physicality to this match whatsoever. It was just bland, capital G, capital W, good wrestling, and it barely even got to that standard. I'm more interested in the post-match. They were more interested in the post-match, and Grayson Waller trying to be this, like, charismatic, opportunistic fella, happy-go-lucky. Hey, there's opportunities flying around. I'll take one of those. He was trying to, like, have a rapport with the audience. It died a death. I felt sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny stuff.
Right. What came next on this show? Oh, yeah, that's it. It's Tony D'Angelo. That's right, he's back. And this, I'm just going to say it's too loud. I'll turn it off. Put it in post. He says, hey, I'm out here on the docks. He says, over the years, my uncle's made a few handshake deals. You can call them, let's just say, business arrangements. My family had investments in, Sid, you can testify to this. I've written this verbatim. Like, the rest of the stuff, I go, there was a promo, yeah, Bailey said this.
He's put it in, I'm looking at his notes here. The man has written it in italics for his own traumatic.
Hey, where are we anyway? You can call them business arrangements. He says, my family had investments in many corporations up and down the Atlantic. He said, growing up, my uncle Paulie, of course his uncle's called Paul. Growing up, my uncle Paulie used to tell me, hey, Tony, there's two things we take seriously. And that's business and family. He don't got friends. He just got family. He says, when it comes to what came into these ports, we were dead serious. But now he can add a third item to that list.
Third.
My success in WWE.
I love this. I'm just going to read the first, second, and third drafts of the copy. Growing up, my uncle June. Oh, you can't call him that. That's true. Growing up, my uncle Big Pussy used to tell me, Tony, there's two things we take seriously. Growing up, my uncle Carmine. Don't. I mean, it's caricature. I love this.
Yeah.
With all every last beat of my ironic heart. How do they not know that the people watching this are going to think, oh, this is a shameless Sopranos. It's just, it's that stupid bastard, Bruce Pritchard, just going through his Rolodex of wacky, what's out there in the air. We like to...
cultural zeitgeist.
What's in the cultural zeitgeist? We like to reflect society. We tell stories that reflect society. Do, do, do. And, you know, you've got woke culture, Sopranos. Like, it's just that stupid old arsehole. And he's a repugnant human being as well, so I do not mind burying him to this extent. Is a hack bastard who's like, I'm sorry, he's beating Jeff Jarrett at this. He's beaten Hogan at this. He's quite literally beaten Triple H at this. If you were to write a list of the top 10 corny cockroach lifers, you've got to tip that hat and say, salut to Bruce.
I'm watching this. I obviously adored it, right? But I was thinking, and please, you two and the listeners, remind me next week for the NXT preview. We're going to have a little game, right? We're all going to pick one location and one word, okay? And you see if he says it. You can't say like an obvious one, like schmuck or something, because he's going to say that. He calls everybody schmuck.
He's not going to say it,
right? But you know, he's thinking, oh, schmuck's watching the show. But so, you know, you could have like, I don't know, he's at the casino and he's talking about territory, okay? That's an example, but that's just the game for next week. So just have a think on that. Hamblet, this is the best promo I've ever seen. What did you think?
You've asked us basically next week to play Cluedo with a guy that keeps alluding to Moira. That's why they were always down at the docks. Tony used to work at the docks. I don't have a lot more to add. This is... it's brilliant, man. It's not Bruce Pritchard, when he was first doing the Conrad podcast, one of the like really enjoyable things, and I think one of the reasons why that program exploded in the way it did, was because he was obviously targeting a direct sort of group of wrestling fans of a certain age. And he would talk about the shoots that he would go and do with the wrestlers. Think about the Mr. Perfect one, all the different locations you could take Mr. Perfect where he could show that he was just perfect at everything. And there was a real... There was a joy in his voice that was back, remembering the good times. And because he wasn't back with WWE, a lot of people would have been listening to that podcast and like leaving comments, hopefully to get their five-star reviews read out, and saying things like, Bruce, you were brilliant at this. I wish you were back in the company so you could do more. And he's done it. He's got back and he's like, hey, Tony, get in the car. We're going to the docks. Like, we're going down the trek. I love it. And, you know, yes, Sidgwick is correct to point out that they're being very on the nose with these Sopranos references. However, in my opinion, like, better you do this prominent mafia reference than the other one. Like, he can't mention the sort of woman that would have hung around with the Godfather because she was a whore.
Next up, we've got a vignette with Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. We mentioned this earlier. They talked about getting into a bar fight back in July. There's even security footage of this after they, I think, got knocked out of the, you know, breakout tournament. But getting into a fight made them respect each other. Now they're a tag team, and it doesn't matter if it's a street fight, a bar fight, or a dog fight, because they're going to end the fight, Michael Sidgwick.
Or a pit fight, because this is Thatcher and Champa.
Because it's a pit. Because it's rubbish.
Anyway, then we got a brief squash match. There'll be a few of them. Amari Miller taking on the brilliant Kaylee Ray. There's a little inset promo. Miller talking about how the fact she's from Missouri, the show me state, and she's ready to show up and show out. So she got beaten in a minute and a half. got kicked by Kaylee Ray. Gory bomb, 1, 2, 3. But
get Kaylee Ray off the show, man. Come on, don't take the piss. Like, what's she doing here? I understand that you need maybe one or two people that can be the like the legendary figures, the workers, all that sort of stuff. But this is a developmental brand again. It feels like that. Champa himself felt like an outlier in the opener. Get her gone. Get her on Raw and SmackDown. This is a bit of a... She doesn't belong here. She's too good for it.
She does deserve better, doesn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. She does. I love it. It's like, oh, yeah, she's there to bring on the new class of people in a minute and a half. How does that work? This show is so brilliantly dysfunctional.
So Bron Breakker is backstage with Tommaso Ciampa. They are cutting a promo about the match that's going to be the main event of the evening. I know he's Rick Steiner's son, but I got major Scott Steiner vibes from this promo. I know they're you know, related, obviously, but it just felt like the Scott Steiner of old when he was cutting this promo, and he was very jazzed up, obviously. And also in the midst of cutting this promo, he's talking about going there, and who better to team with than the, and his eyes are completely fixed on the belt as he says this, Champ.
Was Rick Steiner's wife a freak? Because Scott Steiner is dad. Because there is loads of Scott in there as well. I'm joking. It's an observation. I love the idea of peeling away the camera, right? Which is basically just your set of eyes. And you've got eyes everywhere across this show. But if you peel away the camera, because this is meant to be a show in which everything just happens, but your eyes are in one place at one time. So when your eyes go somewhere else, the idea is these things are still meant to be happening, you know, to create this immersive lived-in world. How long do these two idiots stare at each other for? And at what point do they stop staring at each other? How is staring at a belt storytelling? Tommaso Ciampa has been staring at a belt for 2.5 years and calling it storytelling. Good stuff.
I mean, Bron Breakker's great, isn't he? But they're telling us that in every other segment. So give it like 6 weeks of him being champion and already be bored of him. They are very excited with this Bron Breakker project, and I am fully on board to see it through, but like it'll get ruined. It will.
Well, yeah.
Then we are shown some footage, and thanks to Andy Murray for helping me identify this person. It's Zion Quinn, the guy who beat Boa a few weeks ago. He's walking backstage with a couple of broads, and he's a gentleman. He holds the door open for them, and this other prick piles through, goes to walk in front of them, and he says, excuse me, ladies first. The bloke just goes, chivalry's dead, pal, right? And again, Zion Quinn just murders this dude out back, and no one gets identified once, Michael Hamflett.
Right. This is great, man. NXT 2.0 is weird. I normally feel guilty when, if I want to mention something that somebody's tweeted and I forget the handle, but in this case, I don't want to name and shame them. I saw a tweet this morning on the NXT hashtag, because it's easy to spot, there's only about 12. And it was basically this mention, and it was like really like pure heart. So like I'm not taking the piss completely, but like good faith, pure heart take, right? And it was a collected screenshot. So there was about 10, 11 different images of every woman featured on this episode of NXT 2.0. And there was loads. I'm sure like the number was in the 20s or something. And obviously the point they were trying to make was, look, representation is better than nothing. This is a really good thing. It immediately made me think, is that being done by design, cynically, by NXT? They're trying to show that, like, once people thought this was the only thing NXT had, now they don't even really have the workers, so they're just going to cram as many people on TV as possible. But within that tweet, the person had gone to the trouble of putting the screenshot of the two broads on the guy's arm and counting them. It was just like, and that's when I sort of thought, right, if you're making shows for these fans too, then you really have got the easiest audience in the world to please. Because yeah, nobody was named. Nobody felt like a big deal. This, you were waiting for this. You know, if you're watching this like on, like live on an American stream, you're waiting for there to be a pullback and reveal and it to be like, and with Geico insurance, you don't need to worry about car park fights. Like, aye. Garbage. Total garbage.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, we got Dante Chen wrestling next. He's the first ever WWE wrestler from Singapore. They talked to him going to tryouts and getting through there. And he was facing Trey Baxter, brilliantly talented young guy, but small. So guess what happened? Yes, Trey Baxter got some offense in, backbreaker, half Nelson suplex, goes for a small package. But then Dante Chen reversed it into a version of Angel Garza's wing clipper to get the victory. What do you think of this, Sige?
Another great thing to analyze because I don't have to say anything. It was a squash. The finish looked good. I don't know if he botched it. It was sold well. There was another, it was several like, that's what I'm looking for here. There were several indications that a lot of these people are green because he realized halfway through the count and the referee didn't care that his shoulders weren't actually pressed to the mat. Yeah. There's another terrible finish later on.
And I know you're more excited about talking about what happened with Trey Baxter in a bit.
Oh my God. I can't let
love it.
Rush through it and get that. Can you come to me first on that? I
think absolutely. And I'll come to you first, Hanfler, on Andre Chase University. He's Dean Douglas, basically.
Attitude era Dean Douglas.
He is teaching a lesson. He's shooting on Odyssey Jones, who he's obviously had issues with, not only in the breakout tournament, but last week as part of the wedding. And he talked about Odyssey Jones and how he effectively cost himself that breakout tournament win with a lackadaisical pin on Carmelo Hayes. And he said, look, this is what you should have done. And a student raised his arms. He's called Steve. And Steve says, basically, didn't you lose to Odyssey Jones in like the first round of this tournament? And Chase flips out, throws stuff off his desk, hoists a chair and kicks Steve out of the class, Hamflet.
Aye, great. Total bollocks. Absolute bollocks. But great. I know he is. I know why he's a dickhead. They have managed to tie something that happened in the breakout tournament to why he now exists in this form. And they might be, like, maybe I'm going to sound like a mug for this, and I want to make it very clear that I'm not investing. I'm just suggesting. Maybe this is to give, like, he's going to have a big, like, rivalry with Timothy Thatcher whenever Thatcher returns from wherever the hell he is. Because this was sort of Thatcher's old deal, wasn't it? Like lecturing young kids. Obviously, you would snap them in half in this thing. But they don't have that anymore. They don't have Thatcher's classes. So you can have Andre Chase University. And then he can try to be put in his place by the old guy and probably beat him. Because Thatcher's not a Bruce and Vince and Kevin Johnny guy, is he? So Andre Chase will probably beat him at the end. Great. Great. Complete bollocks.
Another highlight for Michael Sidgwick came next. It was Joe Gacy versus Cameron Grimes. But before that, Joe Gacy is sat in the ring and he's talking all about the violence we've got in NXT, all the microaggressions. He says, we settle differences around here, but I'm here to do conflict resolution. I don't need to use my male privilege to get what I want. I can show you we can have peace in this safe space. Anyway, Cameron Grimes beat him. There was a good bit with Gacy doing a handspring off the ropes into a vicious-looking lariat clothesline sort of thing. And he sort of took a moment to center himself. And in amongst all this, Cameron Grimes nailed him with the cave-in and got the victory. Gacy, post-match, though, weird, wants a hug with Cameron Grimes. Ugh. What's going on here, Sige?
There are two things going on, and they're both absolutely hilariously bad. One, this guy is talking about conflict resolution when his job is to be in conflict with fellow combat athletes. Like, what? It's so stupid. Why is he trying to calm himself down and have a peaceful state of mind when he's in a fight? It's the stupidest thing. They did something similar with Jinder Mahal and dropped it completely, if you remember, a few years back. That was stupid as well. The premise of this gimmick is so stupid. It's so stupid, and yet Bruce Pritchard, no, I'm convinced it is. But then again, it could be Road Dogg as well. It could be any one of these horrible old dicks in this sort of hodgepodge creative process. They are goddamn sick of all of you liberals. That's what they are. And this gimmick is a conduit to express their displeasure at what they think of certain people in society right now.
Surprised they didn't use the word woke.
Yeah.
That's next week.
That's next week. Because this guy is a total creep. This guy's a weird creep, and that's what they think the liberal audience is. And they just want to have a little go at the stupid little liberal creeps through the conduit that is this guy who's a combat athlete who seeks peace. Like, they are going to rename him Cecil the Snowflake next week. That's his new NXT name.
This was so on the nose, and in a way, as Cedric's pointed out, that doesn't actually even fit into wrestling, that it was more like, the best way to think of this is like one of the occupational gimmicks, and the job is being a liberal. That's what it is. Like, you know how like nobody stopped to think, why is the dentist also wrestling? Why is the plumber also just plumb? TL Hopper, just unblock bogs and make a canny living. Don't put your body through pain, just plumb. Like, that's what this is. Like, this guy shouldn't be in a wrestling company, but they want to have that dig, or they want to do that thing, so he gets to be here so they can do that thing. Fantasio did amazing magic. He could pull the referee's pants out without taking his trousers off, right? Why would you get into wrestling? If you can pull a big string of silver out your mouth, why would you bother getting into wrestling, Fantasio?
Why take a bump?
Why fall on your back for a living, Joe Gacy? Just go out and got to be this nice guy and not fucking weirdo. Don't get into wrestling.
Then we got highlights from the excellent wedding last week, and it was revealed that the honeymoon, or highlights from the honeymoon, are going to be shown next week. Wade Barrett talking about Dexter Lumis being able to talk now and perfecting his oral skills before the honeymoon. What's he alluding to there,
Sitch? Some Dexter's going to eat in the Hallwell's puss.
And then we got...
We don't eat the pie.
Yeah. We got another... another squash match. It was Ana Shea facing off against Legado del Fantasma's Electra Lopez. Battered her 1 in 2 minutes, sit out power bomb. My notes for it are really easy for this show. I love it.
It's so great. I no longer have to talk around the fact that I was bored rigid by this soulless emulation of what they thought indie wrestling was for 15 minutes of totally forgettable trope checklist fare. I no longer have to say the same thing every week. For longer, I can say the same thing every week, and it's not going to take me as long going forward.
Yeah, don't take this the wrong way, but I much prefer making notes for this than for AEW Dynamite, because for AEW Dynamite, so much stuff happens, so much said, that I'm like, oh, I've got to make sure I mention that brilliant line from MJF's promo, or this mad spot from the Lucha Bros match or whatever, and it's like not the finish, but it's really good, and it takes into a break, and it's so thrilling, and it pops the crowd. This, I just go, right, what was the finish? There we go, that's it.
And the finish report? Finish was botched, and she kind of looked a little weird, so I felt sorry for us.
Anyway, post-match, Santos Escobar comes in, puts over Carmen San Diego, Electra Lopez, and says that she completes Legado del Fantasma. Lopez gets on the mic, and she said what she did tonight was just a taste of what she's going to unleash on B-Fab and the rest of the NXT 2.0 roster. She calls out B-Fab. Out comes Hit Row, but B-Fab is actually snuck in around the back to jump Electra Lopez. They brawl, and they have to have this major pull apart. What did you think of all this, Hamlet?
Really bad. Really bad. And you can't even put much of this on the new lads, because the bones of this are from the Triple H era. This squash wasn't quite as bad as B-Fab's, but it was almost as rubbish. The brawl was useless. It looked awful. If anybody gave half a about this show, you would see elements of this brawl gift as you did when the Creepers were beating up the Elite on the episode of Dynamite. It's funny, actually, you mentioned how like you could just go through these matches really quick. They made NXT as light as they possibly could and turned it into a bad version of AEW Dark. It's like 500 matches featuring people you've never seen and the work just isn't as good. How have they managed that? Like, this was so terrible. And again, like, I'm willing to be way more patient about poor quality work than I would have been in the old NXT, because what you are seeing now very clearly is a developmental brand trying to accelerate the progress of 100 million wrestlers at once. Problem comes, and it's a problem they made for themselves, is they are having this happen on national television. So when something looks like it doesn't belong on national television, you kind of have to say that for what it is, and that's what this was.
We're here, Sige. Trey Baxter's backstage, but in comes, you know, his girlfriend. His girlfriend. His girlfriend, yeah, his girlfriend. Cora Jade, she comes in. He's sad, obviously, at losing his match. But she says, don't worry about it. He's probably facing, he's a bloody superhero. And kisses him. And he feels a little bit better about himself. And he goes, superhero.
Oh, my God. He's going to be the male equivalent of Nikki A.S.H.
Yeah.
They are
Trey S.H.
Yeah, they are legitimately. Gives me an idea. He is going in a bid to, like, impress the girl. It's all about impressing the girls, the little girls on this show. To impress the girl and to win the big fight. Going to become a superhero.
Trey Man.
And like, with all due respect, he's one of these pretty bloody good kick pad wrestlers. And that's reductive, but that's kind of what he is. And Vince, Bruce, Johnny, and Kev, like, don't be that. That's boring. You are to become Rolodex of bollocks. Like a voodoo practitioner, no.
Not yet. Save that.
Not yet. Could he be, like, I don't know, a teacher? No, I've already got one of them. Could he be from the Mafia? No, we've already got Tony D'Angelo, of course. Superhero.
Baxman.
They were going to call him Baxter Basics, but he didn't have good fun on Myrtle. So that was really good. I love it. Like that, super, that, super. I love when you get the exposition, like the camera keeps rolling a couple of extra minutes, so they say the thing out loud that you're supposed to hear. Because all it makes me think of is the things that they could have said instead. So he's gone like, super, that's taken. What's the takeaway? Yeah. Right, I'm going to go home and have full sex with my girlfriend. and then that would have been the gimmick instead. But it's funny way that it would have been Shaggy. But it's got, you said superhero, so, oh, sorry, it means you're wearing a cape. Could have been so different, Trey. Could have been so different.
Again, we are backstage. This time it's Frankie Monet. She's confronting Raquel Gonzalez. And they say that... their title match is next week. They've remembered it. And then Lash Legend shows up and reveals that that's what people are going to be tuning for next week. Not that match, but her.
About time Lash Legend was back.
I've missed Lash Legend. I forgot what it was called, so I'm going to call it Out on the Lash. That starts next week. I'm intrigued. What do you think, Hamper?
Lashing out.
Oh, yeah.
There are connotations there that disgust me.
Was this related to that cutaway of all the women fighting at the start of the show, or did that just go unaddressed? Was the women fighting at the start of the show the female equivalent of the men getting to stand in the ring behind Tommaso Ciampa? And that's just what happens in this place. Or was Lash Legend here to, like, because this all happened in a corridor, like, and the fight happened backstage. Is this Lash Legend saying, people want to lash out, or come and lash out with me next week on the, like, were those two things supposed to be connected? Or am I being generous for them there? Because otherwise, that big old fight was never paid off, was it?
I don't.
They need some more jewel bag.
Yeah, they do. Then we got another match. It was Odyssey Jones versus, I didn't even write their names down, two jobbers, basically. I love Odyssey Jones. A massive squash match, handicap match here. Chucks him around like an empty tracksuit, in the words of Adam Nicholas. Running splashes in the corner. They're trying to do stuff, but anytime they, you know, get a hold on Odyssey Jones, he just throws them off or falls onto them, destroys them, basically. Andre Chase, though, runs down to try and interfere. Jones, though, continues with the match uninterrupted, hits a double crossbody, and then eventually nails both of them with a middle rope splash and pins both of them, effectively. Post-match, in comes Andre Chase with a chair, but Jones blocks it, and the chair just sort of disintegrates. I love Odyssey Jones, Sige.
I do. My only takeaway from this match was the poor bastard. It was like kind of a stack them slash next to each other bump. And one of them got their arse bumped. It looked like it really, really hurt. But it didn't have the capacity, I think, where they put their arms like into their pecs and like brace for the impact. You just had to take it.
But Odyssey Jones is someone they're really going to push, you sense, Hamfoot.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it works for me, definitely. So I love that Odyssey Jones wears brightly coloured gear. And lucky for him, he's massive, because you wouldn't want to be small in brightly coloured gear. Otherwise, it would probably go wrong. What's next?
Well, first, we had Carmelo Hayes and Williams. They were confronting Grayson Waller, congratulating him on his title match next week, but then reminding him that he's got this contract that means he could cash it in any time and immediately win a title effectively. When
what weight division is he in?
Any. Gigi Dolin, Mandy Rose, Jason Jane, Toxic Attraction come in. They walk past and get the boys' attention. They're heading out to do a promo. But before that can happen, it's time for a vignette on Hikaru Jiro. He welcomes us. I sense this was deliberate, but it did pop me. He welcomes us to the Ica Mansion, which is just a cupboard. It's a cupboard with his clothes in. He talks about, you know, you think of Japanese wrestlers, you think of strong style. But when you think of me, you think of style strong. And he talks about the fact that Ica Man means handsome man. And it's a handsome man with handsome jackets. And yes, we get a montage. All of the jackets being shown off by Ickerman, and he concludes by saying, don't forget, style strong. Wink. I love this.
They're going to change his name to Jacket Man Jiro. Like, said it on the preview, it was pointed that he was allowed to feature in the wedding in the way he did, because he wears colourful coats. I don't know. How bad can this possibly get for him? But nice in the short term. Like, he's going to lose to all these giants. Like, there are massive men on this brand that are ultimately going to flatten Ikem and Juro. So the thing is, if they're building any relationship between Ikem and Juro and the audience up, it's going to be ruined by when Bronson Breakker turns heel and Ikem and Juro is the first guy that he throws into the post or something like that. But, you know, Bruce Pritchard swears blind he's laughing with him, not laughing at him. Swears blind he does.
I just like the idea of them going, right, lads, we've got 1 minute left to fill on this show. We've got to pick between two vignettes that we've shot both, and they're both brilliant. They establish who this person is. Here, you've got Ikem and Jiro. Look at him, funny with his jackets. You've also got Tian Sha. Which one do you fancy, Bruce? Ikem and Jiro, without even a second's hesitation.
Without even a sweat. I mean, look, if nothing else, this vignette felt somewhat tethered to what we know of the guy before. So this was halfway decent on an earnest level. It was just very silly. But it's not like some guy you saw getting squashed 3 weeks ago going, not the problem with wrestling is the violence, the fighting. You know what I mean? I could halfway believe it.
I just got a real nice throwback to the Riot Squad in all this. Strong style. More like style strong. That's exactly what happened. Like, we've got this guy, he's a Japanese wrestler, but not exactly strong style. Wait a second. That's exactly what happened, isn't it, basically?
I can't wait to get the next bit.
Okay, let's get to Toxic Attraction. They had a promo next. Mandy Rose on the mic. She says, you know, I'm a star. All the fans love to look at, but where were each and every one of you when my face was broken? No one did anything but ridicule me and make me into an instant GIF. I didn't see literally any GIFs of this, if I'm perfectly honest.
The only GIF
I saw was your man with the axe, you know, Gaylord. That was his name. Dexter Loomis, sorry. Anyway. People treated her and Gigi and JC like they treated Gigi and JC, but we don't give a damn what you people think. She's realized there's a beast behind the beauty and they're going to take over. And Gigi Jolene gets on the mic and says, the pain of her past fuels her aggression. She and Jane, they need a purpose. That's where Mandy Rose comes in and we're headed to the top of NXT. She's getting watted quite a lot here. So Mandy gets on the mic and says, well, yeah, well, say what if you think, if you don't think I'm the hottest thing alive or something along those lines, basically. And JC Jane says, look, Toxic Attraction, we're not just pretty faces. We're not just going to sit back and wait for our opportunity. What we want is the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships, and the current champs are getting ass kicking. And we cut backstage where best friends Zoe Stark and Io Shirai are watching, and Io Shirai says, I don't like them. Just hilarious, this. She always just goes, I like them less than I like you. So yeah, let's fight them, basically. She accepts the challenge. Zoe Stark is like, oh, shouldn't we discuss about this? And she's like, no. Let's take the match. So she takes the match, and as they're arguing, in comes Persia Perotta and says that when Indy Hartwell returns from her honeymoon, she's going to want to go after the tag titles, and they're apparently a team now. So that's the thing as well, Hamfoot.
Oh, what a mess. What a mess. Ah, Toxic Attraction. I mean, Beth Phoenix, guys, I don't know if you picked it up, but she said they were a dominant force. so I think she got the copy. Really bad. Really bad, dull, pointless dialogue. You know, that nonsense about I've got a dark past and a twisted soul and all that crap. Like, nobody buys that. There's been no effort made into any of this. There's been no direction given to the wrestlers themselves. And if there is, it's bad direction because it's basically scowl at the hard camera, maybe, when the other people are talking. Just laughable pantomime. Completely divorced from reality nonsense. And I would say, compared to a lot of the stuff on the show, really not the good kind. I don't know what it is about. And I wish I've not been able to yet articulate why some things are the fun kind of bad and some things are the bad kind of bad. I just know in my heart that this was the bad kind of bad. I felt a bit sad for the three of them having to come out and try and get this over. And like, who gives a toss about the tag title match next week? Who gives a toss about the belts? Io Shirai is another one that kind of doesn't really feel like she should be here. Like, there's a Raw and a SmackDown just waiting for her. I'm not saying it's going to go any better, but
you should get paid,
probably not too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll get a proper wage for being great. I just doesn't feel like all like they belong, or that angle or any of that belongs now.
If she sticks around in NXT much longer, Vince is going to watch from her old performances and go, Bin Lady, there we go.
I mean, here's the thing. This goddamn segment was dire. It's funny when Bruce Pritchard does men, because they just become wacky occupational guys, or, oh, what's going on in the news? Let's make that ugly thing even uglier on TV with, like, the woke culture and all that nonsense. That
also, is he watching it on, like, Internet Explorer from 3 years ago or something?
Yeah, it's just fantastic. This was, well, you may think we're hard enough where you're not going to get it, you losers. But we're also really hard, tough. I stumble over my words constantly on this podcast and other podcasts. It's just part of the rhythms of my speech. So I don't really want to bury anybody else for doing it in the middle of a promo, but it was quite funny. I don't know how Mandy Rose managed to say, instead of battered and beaten, batteredly and beated. Her other delivery otherwise is completely unremarkable and cliched and worn. Gigi Dolin, her attempts to convey aggression and whatever were dire. Absolutely dire. And who's Indy Hartwell's new maid?
Persia, hang on, Perotta.
Persia Perotta's line, honestly, this show, it's all about opportunities and breakthroughs, and I want the title and you want the title. It's just easy, isn't it? What I loved about her line is, if I know anything about my wrestler friend, it's that I think if I know her, she's going to want to win a championship. And they all do. If I know anything about everyone on Cage Match, they're probably going to win a title. It's a stupid, obvious thing to say. This show is rubbish. This is an improvement on the thing that people kept telling me I was a pedantic nerd and biased for not enjoying. Well, that's in the mud, and this is in the mud as well.
Well, they're listening to the podcast because they've announced three matches for next week and obviously all the honeymoon stuff. Three title matches, in fact. Women's tag team titles, just discussing there. The women's championship, of course. Frankie Monet challenging Raquel Gonzalez and Grayson Waller versus Roddy Strong. And now we get to the main event. It's Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker versus Lee Dunne and Rhys Bloody Holland. And immediately, Ciampa goes for a very quick fairy tale ending. Dunne escapes, though, here, gets out of the way of it all. And I've got to be honest, lads, we always go, oh, bloody Vince McMahon, the bit with Bron Breakker and Ridge Holland, Jesus Christ. I was like, I'll get those other losers out, get Ciampa and Dunne out of the way because I want to see these two massive blokes have a fight. Breakker comes in, he suplexes Holland, suplexes Dunne. In the end, though, the heels, as Ciampa comes back in, managed to isolate him by using a blind tag, and he just mutilates Ciampa's arm. He targets the hand and the arm, and he twists it, and he stamps on it a load, basically. They go to the outside. Ciampa realizes what's about to happen, throws Ridge Bloody Holland into the ring steps, throws Dunne across the announce desk, does the old clapping and slapping himself on the back when in comes Ridge Holland out of nowhere to just spear him over the table as we head to break. When we come back, the heels are still in control of Ciampa. He counters Holland's suplex, though, gives him a suplex of his own, gets the hot tag to Bron Breakker, who just looks mint. He runs wild, huge power moves, suplexes for everyone. He puts Pete Dunne in a Steiner recliner. And they go, oh, I've never seen this move before. I don't know, some sort of camel clutch, I suppose, basically. In the end, though, Dunne manages to escape by targeting the hands, finger, snap spot, all that sort of thing. Ridge Bloody Holland comes in. He gives an overhead belly-to-belly with Ciampa. But then Breakker goes, on commentary, they literally said, anything you can do, I can do better. He does the exact same thing to Pete Dunne. And then there's the face-off. Ridge Holland, Bron Breakker, all of Vince's favorite things combined, and they just hit each other with lariats and then no sell it, and they both double clothesline each other, double down. In slides Pete Dunne. He tries to bring in Holland's, I don't know, club or whatever it is, but Ciampa makes a save, hoys it to the outside. Ciampa gets knocked to the outside. Breakker goes to press slam Dunne, but they rake the eyes. And as Holland goes outside to get the club, who should return to grab it off him and hit him with it? Then cool Kyle O'Reilly. He nails Holland with the club, rolls Holland back in. Ciampa hits Dunne with a Willow's Bell, and Breakker uses that power slam of his. 1, 2, 3 on Ridge Bloody Holland. And they stand tall, Breakker and Ciampa. And Breakker hands Ciampa the bell. Well, Ciampa has to pull the belt off him, but they are standing tall as the show goes off. Yeah, really good main event this. Good fun.
It was good fun. There was enough happening. There was one sequence where Ridge Holland and Bron Breakker were doing virtually the exact same thing as Dunne and Ciampa, and got down the contrast.
Yeah.
It was really quite interesting. And then they did the second one where Breakker and Holland were each doing the same move, or Breakker did the same thing just after Holland did the whole anything you can do, I can do better. So they are doing tiny little things to position Breakker as Ciampa's equal, the idea that there is parity ahead of their title match, and he's just above Ridge Holland. Throughout the night, the theme was there's loads of new faces, absolutely loads of them, each more hilarious than the last. They are trying to tell you. And it, honestly, at points they showed you as well, which Vic Joseph always ruins by telling you what's being shown very loudly. The idea is there's loads of new faces, guys, but Bron Breakker is the best of the bunch and the one to look out for. So there's a decent bit of craft behind the push in that regard. It's my birthday, man. The bloody main event. I was in a wildly good mood because of the nonsense on this show. So maybe it wasn't that good a match, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say this. I thought this match was fine, elevated by the mood that NXT 2.0 puts you in. It's so wacky and daft and silly that, like, good wrestling suddenly feels great because you forgot this was a wrestling show. You're like, you've seen like a parade of squashes and a bunch of terrible characters and a load of things that don't make any sense. And then what should theoretically be the best version of all of that suddenly feels electric as a result. And to sort of build on Cedric's point about the kind of the successful function, at least at this point, of the Bron Breakker push, like, fans loved everything he did. The hot tag response he got was unbelievable. He's already got that, like, so obviously WWE heels are trained with that bump and feed snap, but it takes, you know, you've got to be, if you're the babyface in that particular pairing, you've got to be like super fired up with it. And he's got that for days. Like, he's at very least learned the things in the performance center. Unlike what Triple H was apparently telling about 50 signees for the past 5 years, he's learned the things in the performance center that the big boss might actually want to see. And in doing that, at the same time, he's actually extracting a reaction from this crowd as well. So the match was fine, but I'm starting to become earnestly impressed with the Braun Breaker experiment, because it is daft, and it is, he's not called Steiner, and he probably should be. And he's like the first big muscle head out the chute, and he's going to become the champion in like a month or something. So he's capturing the cliches that we all had for this NXT. But I think it's pretty effective as well. So I think we're a couple of good performances away from relishing him actually having the belt and seeing what they can do with him.
Yeah, I've got very much like two sides of my brain now. I've got all the silly bollocks that they've done on this show, of all the, you know, Safe Space or Hikam and Jiro or Donnie D'Angelo. And then you've got like Bron Breakker, Odyssey Jones, Von Wagner, and what's his name? Harland now. Get all them in, and then just get all the smaller guys who are apparently technically good at wrestling. Nah, I don't care about fundamentals. I want to see big guys just smashing into each other, because I love that. Yeah, that moment. And yeah, Vince has, I suppose, been proved correct in that respect. No.
He absolutely has. He absolutely has, 100%. I love this show, man. I can't wait for next week's episode. I haven't said that since before October 2019. I cannot wait for next week's. And I know I don't have this. I'm a very facetious guy. Mm. Cynical, like black humor, the whole bit. But I mean it. This is just me. I love the show, ironically, more than I ever liked it earnestly since it moved to TV. I know a lot of people won't share that. I see people are praising it earnestly. Like, don't do that. Like, that's reviews flying around. Yeah, this has got a 6.5 out of 10. No, it doesn't. It gets a 0 under 10.
I love that. You know, like, obviously, a text message conversation could sit there for years on your phone and you've forgotten all about it because you just don't message that person anymore. I love the idea that the last text between Vince McMahon and CM Punk was like, I'm really sorry, I didn't know that about the wedding. And obviously Punk never replied because he was too angry and he thinks that he's lying. And he knew full well that he was getting fired on his wedding day. And then Vince just finds him, finds Phil, has to scroll all the way through his text, finds Phil and be right, you're right, my son-in-law is a doofus. What are you doing these days? Because he doesn't know. He doesn't watch Dynamite, right? You're up too much. Like, we got a show on Tuesdays. How's the family? How's the wife?
Well, let us know your thoughts on NXT 2.0 on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Why say you can follow all three of us? You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow birthday boy Michael Sidgwick and wish him a happy birthday at
M. Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Later on today, we'll be previewing AEW Dynamite Grand Slam, which I sense may be slightly different to NXT 2.0. But who knows? Maybe they'll see this and follow the real blueprint of how shows should go. But let's wait and see.
Piss me off.
But for now, this has been the NXT 2.0 review. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.